When it's flashing, it's not. Now.
Now you're recording.
Now it's recording.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm out of good stuff. So
yeah, we ran out of our A material.
Said everything that we have to say.
Yeah.
We hashed it out.
Bye, everybody.
I'll just play this song.
As they say, yeah, fuck you all. We're out.
It's kind of the attitude of the show, anyway.
Right.
Fuck y'all. We're out.
Talk about Budweiser. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the Bulldogs in? Are they in harmony?
Yeah,
helpful snowman.
There we go. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another one. I have guests, as you heard.
Yeah.
Bet
yeah,
you
buddy.
Can guess who are the guests.
Right.
Nicanor.
It's Nicanor.
Hola.
I'm Sicily. I don't know.
And my cat.
Hello.
I decided to have a... I had a moment of pride because the cat went out on her harness in the hallway.
Uh-huh.
She went up the stairs on her own volition.
I think you're ready for a kid.
I was very proud. She's very brave.
I was impressed that you just said my cat.
Yeah.
I was like, that's your girlfriend's cat.
Well, it is.
But that's okay. It's okay that you
Wait, were you holding the harness or was she holding the harness?
Oh, she was.
She was holding Peter's harness.
I can't dress the cat in the harness or other things. Like, she won't tolerate that. We don't have that relationship.
But the cat trusts
Poon Master Flex.
Poon Master enough.
I think Poon Master is okay with sort of like smothering her with her body in such a way that she can dress her in things, and I am not comfortable doing that.
Gotcha. I would be hurting this cat.
I feel like I'm hurting the cat.
Poon's like, no.
Maybe there's also a bit of like relative pain because like didn't Poon Master Flex squeeze the cat hard enough to make it poop?
That happened one time, yeah.
Was she angry?
No, she was like hugging the cat. And then set it down and was like, there's like a tiny little piece of cat poop on my shirt.
Did she learn a lesson?
I think she's fine with it.
She's
I think
aware
it's just
of
like,
the lesson.
This is one of the risks.
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't stop hugging that hard. She just realized that that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't seem like she'd hugged her particularly hard from where I was standing, but
you guys are both victim blaming. It's 2017, Peter.
Well, when the victim's a cat, what are they going to do?
Oh, you're just going to say the victim's a cat? The cat can be whoever it wants
to be.
I'm
going to complain on this podcast.
Okay, you're right. You're right. You're right.
You cishet.
It's a girl cat. So, therefore, I don't care. If it was a boy cat, I'd feel different.
You'd have to protect its male cat privilege.
Well, because if it was a dude, I'd be like, yeah, that's wrong. But as a girl, you're like, well, I mean...
She deserved it.
Why is she cleaning herself all day if she doesn't want to get picked up?
She shouldn't dress like that. I gotcha.
Exactly. In her natural fur. right away. Before, like, when you guys first got here, we were kind of talking about a TV show.
Yes.
Called Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Now,
part
this
of the
is
CW
like a...
DC Expanded Universe, TM.
Well put.
Yeah.
So, like, it kind of goes in with, like, the Flash, Green Arrow,
it does. It comes straight out of those.
Isn't there a Supergirl, too?
Supergirl was on CBS, and Supergirl has been changed to the CW.
Right.
So before there was like one episode where her and Flash crossed over. Now they're bringing Supergirl more into the fold, but this is new. This is in like the new season where she's now part of the CW.
So she's the Spider-Man of the...
That is 100% correct.
Of this DC, CW, EU,
TM.
Marvelverse.
Capcom.
Sega. Ian was kind of describing an episode of this to me right when Alec got here. And I was kind of like, this doesn't sound right.
Do you want the premise of the show?
No, let's start. Okay. Tell me a little bit about the show. Not a lot, but just kind of the general tone of the show.
A bunch
of
losers travel through time and fix stuff that goes wrong in the past, present, and future.
Whoa, a bunch of legends.
Oh,
Ian,
oh
tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. Today. Though.
And this is like, so it's like Sliders with superpowers?
Kind of.
Quantum Leap with superpowers?
Yes, well put.
Yes.
Or sometimes, the Exiles?
Sometimes they're in Camelot. Sometimes there's dinosaurs. Occasionally they're in 1950.
They go to the Wild West whenever they need something to do.
That is like a recurring. They're like, hey, we have Jonah Hex and people have forgotten about that fucking horrible movie. So let's bring him back.
Now this sounds a little like every episode of Star Trek I really disliked, where they're on the holodeck.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we're going to be in the Wild West. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'm glad this space show is happening in the old-timey Wild West.
I still remember the one with Moriarty, and it was like a train, the Great Train.
Oh, God.
Because they had Data dress up. They're like, hey, look at the android. He's dressed up.
They have even less literary. They have fewer literary ambitions because they're like, you know who we're going to meet as our historical figures? George Lucas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he's not kidding. Or they go for just the broadest ones where they're like, hey, isn't that King Arthur of Camelot?
Right.
They really
Are you talking about
easy.
Legends of Tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
So wait, George Lucas is a cameo?
Yes. He is actually like integral to one of the stories.
Now, is he George Lucas or is he some other
guy? No, they say he's George Lucas.
Like, oh, this is George Lucas. We have to save George Lucas.
Because otherwise, yeah, and then they learn a lesson from one of the Star Wars movies, right?
Like, yeah.
Because that's, here's what happened. Two or three of the legends were inspired by Star Wars.
In Indiana Jones. Yeah.
In Indiana Jones. So if George Lucas never created Star Wars and Indiana Jones, they were losers.
Oh, like, so they changed never their past.
Like, they never learned about
So somebody like prevented George Lucas from making those movies, and then like our intrepid scientist adventurers became like layabouts.
I think,
and this I thought was insulting. One of them was like a garbage man. And I'm like, how much of an asshole would you feel like if you're a garbage man who enjoys this show and they're like, oh, he's a fucking shitty garbage man.
He's like a dumb garbage man.
He's like, oh, that'd be the worst job.
I don't like being a garbage man, but it pays the bills and I can escape into the joy of the CW's Legends of Tomorrow.
Being a garbage man is the fucking pits. You lose it, fuck.
Now, what if they were trying to do like an expanded universe and include the works of Dirk Bach Durf?
Who's Dirk McDurf?
Who made the comic
My Friend
Trash.
Dahmer guy.
And yeah, exactly. They're going to have a major crossover with the feature film My Friend Dahmer.
It would be like if Peter Bagg character Buddy Bradley showed up in
Legends of Tomorrow. I was like, all right, I gotcha.
I would
or
love
perhaps
it.
Robert Crumb right. makes an appearance.
There'd be like women with giant asses and legs that all of a sudden just show
and like
up.
Like a duck bill.
And I'd be like taking a ride on the back of one of them.
Yeah.
I'd be like, O.R. Crumb. You're weird.
Okay, well, this gives me a pretty... I feel like George Lucas being an integral plot point, and it's actually him in it, like he's actually...
No, it's a young George Lucas.
Young
they
George
don't actually
Lucas.
Have fat...
They actually they like, captured that pretty well.
He was like, Greedo shot first. It wasn't Greedo? Did I say this right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not losing my nerd credentials.
Well, Han shot first in the original.
Well... We all know Han shot
Greedo
first,
didn't
but
shoot
then
all,
like
really.
He's an idiot. But you know, George Lucas was like, "No, kids would watch this."
What are kids gonna learn if they see their hero in a space bar shootout that we don't understand
right.
any of the details of?
Exactly.
But then, like, Luke could just cut the fucking arm off of some asshole,
yeah,
and that's okay,
right?
Maybe that guy was just
or basically kill his own father.
Wait, spoiler alert! Jesus Christ.
It's okay, I didn't say he was Darth Vader.
Oh, God.
I'm out. I'm putting my headphones. I'm leaving.
I'm done.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah,
so
the show
we
is...
We should say there's some spoilers for an episode of Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, if you're not, at least... Is this on season one?
This is in season two.
Okay, so
but I think this is not integral to the plot. This is one of those Villain of the Week ones.
Or is it the most important episode where we learn the most important lesson?
Well, we do learn an important lesson.
Now, we'll the episode title... I'm guessing neither of you know.
No.
It's like going to be like 12 years a row.
It's Abominations. And it's about, as Ian put it, it's their take on 12 Years a Slave.
Which, it's like a really, it's an important part of Roots that we didn't get to see.
Right.
Yeah, it's the cutting room floor. Yep. Well, here's what, okay. So my understanding of Legends of Tomorrow and stuff would be like, I could see this show doing sort of like, maybe they're going to do their Fast and the Furious. Maybe they're going to do their...
they did their Camelot, so they do like they did their generic Western.
They had their dinosaur episode where
they dinosaur
went prehistoric.
Episode. Yeah.
So they definitely hit lots
now,
of...
What do
like,
they do? They go back to dinosaur times. Do they just hang out? What are they going to do?
This is a great question. They're stuck there, and they have to go to the Atoms, Ray Palmer's old campsite. And the Atom, Ray Palmer, was stuck there for like 6 months. So they're like, oh, we got to get the battery that he left or whatever.
We have to
the
get
fuck.
The, you know, flux capacitor.
Right.
The science it's the thing in all the CW shows
the
where there's like, there's a science gizmo that
they're
they
like
need
the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
The science MacGuffin.
Yeah. Like, what if we reverse the polarity on the magnetic trans defibrillator.
It is, where it's like Geordi's like, well, I guess if we use the, I don't know what he
used. The writing room just has like a spinning board or like a dartboard, and they're like, this and this.
Where they just sort of solve a problem by the fact that
by
Mad Libs. Well, we don't understand this technology because it doesn't exist.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, I always like that too, because they're like, what if we rerouted the power from this to, and I'm like, well, wouldn't that be like me saying, like, what if I rerouted the power from my window motors on my car to the drive shaft and therefore got an extra 2 miles an hour out of this bad boy?
Like, you just wrote an episode of DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
I like the idea of you like sitting around tinkering with your car to get an extra 2 miles an hour out of it. Well, like, dramatic music plays and like the camera spins around you 360. Right.
Peter's like sweating. They like show him like wipe it off and like.
Which is another irritation I have with all of these shows when they're doing like expository dialogue or the 360 spin around it. I'm like, stop! I need the we need to understand what's going on. Stop spinning.
But so we don't need to know what's going on because they just say we got to science it, then they science it.
Then why did they have the camera spin around?
And so then he befriended a dinosaur there, a T-Rex.
Oh, of course.
But not really.
He stole an egg.
Adam did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was like, hey, that's my friend Gertrude. And then the Gertrude's like, I'm going to kill all of you. I mean, they treat it like a Tyrannosaurus. It's not an anthropomorphized. It's not talking to
it's
him.
It's not Denver
but
the
But first
dinosaur.
He's like, hey, Gertrude that I named. And then they're like, I thought that you were friends. Why did you try to kill us? He's like, I may have stolen an egg from her. Commercial.
I may have stolen an egg. Right. I don't want to talk about it.
Right. That's in the spirit of Legends of Tomorrow, where you're going to have a wacky dinosaur adventure.
It's fun.
Yeah,
where you can steal a dinosaur egg to no end, really, for no reason.
Well, they get to his camp, and they're like, why does it smell bad? It's like, oh, well, Tyrannosaurus pee is all everywhere. Why is there Tyrannosaurus pee everywhere? Oh, it keeps the other Tyrannosauruses away.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
I forgot that gem.
This is the spirit of the show. You're going to have people sleeping in
dinosaur
pee.
So they did their Jurassic Park.
Right.
Yep.
They've done, they could do, like, their own E.T. They could do these kind of things. However, this one is the one Ian described as their 12 years a slave. Which...
They're going to tackle the issue of slavery.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a misguided idea.
Right.
So I brought up the plot summary. So I thought maybe I'd like start reading through it and then you guys could stop me and kind of be like, okay. So, the real short one is the legends find themselves fighting for survival against Confederate zombies in the Civil War.
See, that description makes it fit what the other
that
shows
about
were.
Right.
Yeah.
So if it was just fighting Confederate zombies, you'd be okay with it.
Just because they needed kind of like a historical backdrop on which to hang their zombie plot.
Right. And that I get. And like, it's perfect. Because you're like, all right, well, if they just go back and they're basically fighting in the Civil War and they're killing Confederate soldiers, you're like, I don't know how I feel. Like, this is a little weird, right? This seems to be a bad choice.
When comics hedge their bets and they... Even the Nazis they fight are like zombies or demons. Yeah. They're like, this is a demon-possessed Nazi.
That was my favorite part of the Captain America movie, which was basically like when they reveal the Red Skull. And he's like a Nazi, but then he reveals himself and basically makes a speech that's like, Nazis really aren't extreme enough for me.
That's right. Like Hydra,
like, Hydra is more.
Hydra is where like the Nazis are like, you've gone too far.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Like, whoa, guy. And he's like, you guys don't understand. You liberals, you left wing.
Yeah.
You left wing
pussies.
Don't understand.
You snowflakes.
What we need.
I just thought that was so amazing because it was like, okay, we live in an era now where even Nazis perhaps will garner some sympathy, so we have to make this person like, I'm a Red Skullhead man who thinks the Nazis don't go far enough.
He's like, that Hitler's a pussy bitch.
Yeah, he's
right.
Like,
oh, he loves animals and he's a vegetarian. He's
going to
paint a picture.
I got to take over because he's running everything into the ground.
Right. He loves the German Volk. Fuck that.
It's crazy. So like, Confederate zombies, you're like, all right, well, I have no moral issue here because you're like, I don't know, there's some brother against brother, and maybe like, certainly in any war, there are people fighting on both sides who are like, I'm not really involved in this.
Right.
Like,
how was I conscripted when I ideologically don't even agree?
Yeah. Right.
It's like, I lived in Alabama.
But so then boom, you're a zombie.
But for the most part, like if you had to fracture the jaw of a Confederate soldier, that probably wouldn't feel too bad about that.
Like, if they were a zombie.
Like, it's not a like joyful, you can't just have, people with superpowers plowing through a bunch of regular dudes.
Maybe
you're like, I don't know, man. These guys all have like fucking gangrene and right. shit. Like,
but that's right. why you have
that guy's like 15.
I'm not enjoying.
Yeah, right. That's why you right. have to have in the episode where they're led by like an evil slave holding Confederate guy.
Yes.
So you'd be like, make sure that he's in charge.
Yeah.
You're like, all right. He's an obvious monster.
Make him a real dick, even amongst the other. Like, right, there's there right. might be a couple genteel slaveholders, but like this guy's a real asshole.
Yeah, you, yes. you have to this show the him Red like Skull basically the, yeah. putting black cats into a cauldron because right. he's like, that's how much I hate black yeah. people. You know, you gotta like, really drive it home.
We really like Mammy. She takes care of our kids, so we're okay with her. And he's like, no, she's a slave.
Right. Whip did her. Did you get licorice from in town? Not black licorice, right? Like, it's like you gotta make it so far that you're like, okay, nobody is gonna be like, well, to be fair,
right? It was a different time.
Yeah,
it was a different time.
And maybe that's why they have to have the slave plot line around, because if you have the slave holder, you could have him be murdered or fractured, have his jaw fractured, and it's fine.
Well, it was a different time. Grandma doesn't know what she's saying. That we used to use the word colored.
In, right. It's the no one gives a shit about the plantation owner's pain.
When they're bad. Unless they're Leonardo DiCaprio. And then you're like, this guy seems charismatic.
Or.
And I don't like Jamie Foxx.
What about
as much
if there are national heroes? Thomas wait. Jefferson.
Ooh, oh, wait a
George
minute.
George Washington.
They would never Ooh. Have held slaves, Peter. Yeah.
See, it's problematic.
What
this is what I'm
mean?
Saying. There's problems.
Well, the Legends
so
of Tomorrow.
So you make them zombies, and then it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you make them zombies, and then you kind of eliminate any of that.
Okay.
Well, you did
so
make
there's
that.
There's two here.
There's also the slaveholder guy, but we'll get to him later.
So when they, I assume this is the Legends,
right.
receive a distress beacon from another time traveler, they follow it to 1863 in Mississippi.
Mississippi.
They find a ship and destroy it. What does that mean?
I don't remember.
A boat?
They found like another version. I think they found another version of their ship.
I don't
or something.
They have like
that.
A time ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how they travel through
she
time.
She has a name, Peter.
The Wave
it's not
Rider.
In here.
The Wave Rider.
Oh, well, that makes a lot of sense since they're on waves.
Mm-hmm.
Time waves.
I'm trying to remember.
That's
what,
how you time travel, Pete.
I'm trying to remember Hang what time. Like the time ship thing was, but I totally
I don't remember
don't.
Either.
I
it's
think
not
it's
important
insignificant
to our topic
because it's like two lines into 10.
Yeah,
I
it seems like because then, but later they see a black man being chased by Confederate soldiers, which probably wouldn't be a crazy sight, right? At the time, they help him, but discover the soldiers are zombie-like. Apparently, the ship had some kind of virus on it, which infected them. And the man they helped was mortally wounded.
Oh, I remember this now. Okay. I remember what happened.
Okay, so...
There's a time pirate. Okay. All right, so these are pirates who go and steal shit from other time periods.
Okay,
a
that
pirate
makes sense.
Stole some kind of virus and
from
got
the
infected...
Future.
From the future. Got infected with it and crashed.
Okay.
So that's how there's...
Oh, now, that's what created the
that's
zombie.
That's what created the
that's why
distress
the Confederates...
beacon to like, come pick me up, and that's why the virus is there.
Yeah.
So, like...
Now, I'm assuming this show does nice. Not get into the intricacies of what it means to crash in time.
No.
Like, if I'm traveling from, let's say, 2017 to 2028,
right.
can I crash in 1863? Is that, like, possible?
Yes. And it's
well,
basically
why?
Like, well, they describe that, like, the way time travel is depicted on this show, and this will be a nice reference for our audience. You remember the stages in Earthworm Jim where you're riding on the rocket through a tube?
Sure.
It's kind of like that.
Okay.
That's
so
how time
if you
travel
fall out of the
works.
Tube, you could just be anywhere.
You could be just kind of anywhere.
Or anytime.
Anytime.
Unmoored.
Any, it's not
time.
Really where, but when.
Yeah, because, okay,
anywhere.
Also,
nice.
It sounds like. For example, one of the big issues with time travel, rarely discussed,
right.
is let's say I time traveled one day in the future.
Uh-huh.
If I was in the same geographic spot, I would be in the middle of space.
Right.
So they're also traveling through space. Because, like, this time
yes.
they're in Mississippi, but I assume they're not, like, always in Mississippi.
No, that would be hilarious, though. The show is just
they're
in
like,
Mississippi.
Well, to be scientifically accurate.
They're like, so many people are overweight here. This is really, there doesn't seem to be a lot of health care going on right
Can
now.
Can we, like, leave from
we
somewhere
have,
cool next time?
We have to wait until Damien Dark shows up in Mississippi and make sure there's an integral thing he needs here.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah, they're like, well, I mean, you know, Jackson's got a really nice IHOP.
Right.
So.
Okay. Let's see.
I mean, Jackson,
some kind of virus which infected them. and the man they helped was mortally wounded. They check him out and learn that he was vital to the Union winning the war.
Oh, yeah. Like
he had
was
some
a,
secrets.
He was a spy.
He's a courier.
Okay, so he shouldn't have been hurt, but he was because these Confederate soldiers were zombified,
so they had
which
to fix
somehow
it.
Increased their ability to injure this man, whereas if they had been fully capacitated...
Where, like,
they,
if
would
they would
not be able to hurt this guy.
Well, maybe they zombie. If I remember, like, they zombie bit him, so he died. Whereas,
but I mean, wouldn't
like,
they just shoot him if they were?
Maybe they were faster. Maybe it's like they became. Maybe if
they
were
running really fast. Yeah. So I mean, like,
oh
that,
yeah, Pete. So these are 28 days
zombies.
Later.
Yeah, these are 28 days later zombies.
Yeah, right. They were.
Yeah,
totally.
So Jefferson. I assume that's one of the people.
It is.
Jefferson Jackson. Half a Firestorm.
Oh, come on.
Professor Stein's the other half, Pete.
And he's Asian.
Yes. Okay. Black Asian.
Blasian, if you will.
So Jefferson decides to continue his mission, and Amaya, that's the drunk girl. That's the blonde girl from the Real World Hawaii.
She's also black. Racist, Peter.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
she's not blonde.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Coral or Ruthie?
I like how you're trying to come up with names of people from the real
world. But I remembered. I was like, wasn't Ruthie like the really crazy drunk one?
She was.
Don't you mean Tanya?
No, I mean Ruthie.
Ruthie, she was a little
Hawaii
bit
as well.
Ruthie, yeah.
And then she was a little bit like street. I feel like, and she had a real drinking
That's
problem.
Racist.
But she wasn't. I don't think she was black. I think she was Asian.
I don't
or
think
something.
She was black either. She was indeterminate. She was like.
Also, I don't actually know if Coral's black. I think she is, but I have no idea. I know she's mean.
Right.
That I know.
Real world road rules. Is that what it was? Road rules.
Where they had a game show
that
with reality
fun.
People. Yeah.
I liked that.
That was actually genuinely fun. All
right. Okay. Amaya goes with him. They go to a plantation where Jefferson suffers the indignities that black people are subjected to at the time. Now,
wow.
All of a sudden, we went from fighting Confederate zombies who are infected by a time virus from a time pirate to a main character in the show being treated like a slave.
Well, and here's the funny thing. I think that even the description right there was a little bit light, like... and then the Jews suffered the indignities that
indignities,
the Jews had to suffer during the Holocaust. I mean,
this whole slavery thing's not very dignified.
maybe to set up and play the Elliot Kalin here.
Okay.
Like, what he has to do is he has to, Jefferson has to go to this house and steal some battle plans to give them to Ulysses S. Grant, who's also in this episode.
Now, can I hold the phone again for a second?
All right.
Hold it right
Okay,
now.
We're time travelers.
Right.
The Legends of Tomorrow, how many people are in this group?
Eight?
I think it's like eight.
Eight. How many of them are white?
I think in this season, six.
All of them except for two, right?
All but two.
Would I be crazy to be like, hey guys, we just landed in the midst of the Civil War in Mississippi. Maybe we should like let the white guys kind of go out and do this stuff, and you guys should just kind of hang out here.
You could say that if you were racist, Peter.
I think that someone actually did bring that up in the episode to be like, don't go outside.
But they didn't have a very compelling reason why.
No.
I think they were just like, we got to do something.
Oh, it was like, the reason is like, oh yeah, I dealt with racism all my life.
Yeah.
That's what Jefferson says. Like he says, it's like, I've dealt with this all my life. And I'm like,
Peter, that's what all the white characters are.
that was the thing where I was like, that's where the cringe starts to come out. I'm like, oh no!
Yeah, we're now equating
like
one mean kid in high school yelling the N-word at you to like slavery
to the war to maintain or abolish slavery.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we get to the indignities.
Well, at least they brought it up.
Right.
Well, don't worry. They'll continue to bring it up throughout the episode.
You know, I guess I would, if I were one of these Legends of Tomorrow, I'd be like.
I don't want to hear it. I've dealt with racism my whole life.
I probably wouldn't suggest it because I'd be like, whatever. He can fucking make his own decision. But maybe in private, if I was good friends with Jefferson Jackson, I would be like, dude, if you want to like stay here, that would be fine. Like, that makes sense. It would be like, you know, if you had, let's say you had eight Legends of Tomorrow. One was an alien from Mars.
Right.
And your ship ends up on Mars. And he's like, I am the only person who can handle the physical environment of Mars.
Let's call him John Jones.
Everyone else is
That's a ridiculous name.
Okay, John Jones.
Yeah.
And better. Then everyone else is like, fuck you, we're coming too.
And he's like, listen, guys, you may die.
I've handled the heat my whole life.
It's not the same, Pete.
How dare you tell me that?
I can hold my breath for a really long time.
Who are you to tell me?
I went to a bathtub once and I totally didn't blow very many bubbles.
Okay, so anyway, the indignities.
So the indignities part is basically Jefferson is there because the slave guy that they
that was
the spy they caught
wounded.
Before was mortally wounded. It has the every now and then Legends of Tomorrow has it sort of like the more you know G.I. Joe like lesson.
Okay.
That right. must be done for some kind of FCC reason because they have to be like, here's our historical explanation moment.
Right. Okay.
And they had this like, oh well, we all you know, former slaves and black people were often spies in the South because they were just ignored anyway.
Sometimes right. when they were singing songs, Pete, they weren't just songs. They actually had hidden messages inside those songs.
Right.
Okay.
And this is all stuff that they have to like that? Stop the plot for a second to explain right. to us. So like Professor Encarta shows
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it'll be really like clunky exposition. Like Professor Stein, who's the other part of Jax, you
right.
know, Jefferson Jackson
oh,
will
sure.
be like,
okay.
well, you know, Jax.
And there's like part of it where I'm like, I want the Starship Troopers. Like, do you want to know more? Like, no, no, get to the zombie part.
This would be good if they could make it like an annoying robot who just popped in and then popped out, but okay.
Well, so Jax is, goes in and he's playing the part of a slave, but right. he's a house slave. So he's like, you know, hey, ma'am, would you, I'm not doing a good slave.
Right.
voice because I'm not racist.
And he encounters the plantation holder who's also
well,
a Confederate general.
First it's like a wife. Right. So he's being polite. He's being too polite to the wife. Doesn't he make her like laugh or something? Or
no, he like bumps into her and he's like says, oh, I'm sorry, and he like takes her hand.
Yeah.
They're like mad at him for addressing her directly.
And then
okay.
the black,
her
yeah,
and
like,
everything.
Hey boy.
Else.
Why aren't you doing your job? See, I can do the racist
right.
thing more because I'm not racist.
And so,
okay.
for the crime of like basically bumping into a white woman,
right,
uh-huh.
and like looking her in the eyes and apologizing, they take Jefferson out to the barn
mm-hmm. where they have all of the slaves.
Where they have
chained
all
up.
The slaves chained up, like just for
Why?
Reasons.
Yeah,
because
okay.
they're having a nice dance, Pete. You got to chain the slaves while you dance.
And so they chain him. Like, they sort of like take what looks like a bicycle lock because the prop department didn't
One
have.
Of those
and I think they had
whatever.
Like
think,
a U-lock. To be fair to the show, I think, well, not that I'm saying this is a good explanation, but they're like, we got to put him with the other uppity slaves.
Okay.
Like, so they put him, these are the
now
slaves that are being punished.
This plantation is basically all uppity slaves then? Like the barn is full
looks
of.
Like, it.
Like it, apparently there's a lot of.
I mean,
like,
is anyone actually working?
People are working in the party. Apparently, you know who's working in the party? The spies pretending like they're
yeah.
working.
So they have two kinds of people there. They have people who are spies pretending to be slaves.
Who aren't uppity because that would give
some
away their...
even from the future.
Right.
And then they have uppity slaves who are chained up in a barn. Like, at some point, aren't they going to be like, so I thought that by having slaves, we made money. But are they supposed to be like... doing something. Like
why do you think the South lost?
How does this oh, there system
was,
work?
There was it one didn't. Part where like they were whipping a slave. And,
yeah.
Like, the characters have to like walk by because they don't want to interfere with
yes,
history.
Yes, I forgot about this.
Yeah, like,
so at the beginning of the episode, Jax is super pissed because he's seeing a slave get whipped.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, he's like, I'm going to fucking stop them. And of course, everybody rightly but awkwardly, because this should never have been in the show, is like, we can't. We can't interfere because... this is history. What can we do? And he's like, I can stop it. And so, yeah. Oh, this is wholly important.
Right.
Because what happens is, so Jax at the beginning chooses not to stop it. Because
okay.
he's like, we can't stop it, Jax. We can't change the
maintain
the past.
The timeline.
Right.
We're here to...
even though that's basically the entire show.
It's very annoying. When you start to really look at like the time travel in these shows, it breaks down pretty bad.
Also,
like,
how come every time someone changes the past in one of these shows... it's bad.
There,
like, it's never like, and then the slave was saved, and it initiated a revolution,
right.
you know, 3 weeks earlier, and then everything was pretty much the same.
The general conceit is basically that they try to say, like, we're going to change the small events leading up to this big event. As long as the big event happens, then everything stays the same.
Okay, so like, they're like, well, right. what if this guy was a guy who got whipped and then led some kind of, you know, fugitive revolt as
right.
a result, and therefore... change the tide of
but here's yeah. what doesn't work. Well, should we give away the end?
I think like, I don't want to get too far ahead.
Oh, okay,
so we should keep going. But that was important. It's good that Pete brought that up. So the beginning of Jax is pissed, and then all the whiteys, and then the other only black character besides Jax, thankfully, so it's not like racist again. Is like, we can't change it, Jax.
Wait, and then this is the part like where he's chained in the barn, where it becomes awful. Is because like he's sitting there and he's asking like, how do you endure?
To like, the other slaves?
Like, to the other slaves, and they say something like, we're people, you know? And then it's like, something like that. And then I remember the scene closes out with all of the slaves singing a spiritual.
Oh, yes. God.
As, like, you know, all together, and as they sort of, like, fade away from the barn, and, like, this is supposed to be the big moment, and you're like, what?
So
also now we're going to go back to like we smash cut almost immediately to General Grant at the camp fighting off a horde
shooting, like,
with
zombie.
A laser and a zombie and
of zombies of zombie Confederates and it's like we're running out of bullets.
Well, God.
And like I'm sitting there thinking like the whole time we could be watching like 1800 zombie movie but instead we have this awkwardly shoehorned like we're in dire slavery because we're noble.
Well, and that's and here's then, the thing that Ian is absolutely right about. It's weird because we're like, what's the fucking lesson? Are we learning that like slaves were people too? We already don't we all come into this agreeing that slavery was a problem and that human beings were being like, you know, disparaged and that
like
their dignity was being
it begs the question, who is watching this and like really walking away being like that really changed my mind.
Slavery was really rough.
Like, I used to be kind of like, well, you know, there's the pluses and minuses.
Right.
And,
I mean, you know.
This is a complicated issue. I mean, this is something with nuances.
Multifaceted.
Like, you know, I mean, on the one hand, I can see why you use someone as farm equipment. And on the other hand...
I just, like, I love to imagine, like, the TED Talk that starts with a guy who's like, you know, I used to be a...
A guy who thought slavery was
a racist.
Bad.
Yeah. And I thought slavery was like bad, but you know, I never really considered the actuality.
My
of
God,
it.
They had names.
Then I saw an episode of a little show called Legends of Tomorrow.
Did you know that slaves had fathers and sons and brothers and sisters and mothers?
Now I need to do a little more research into the zombie apocalypse and how that related to the Civil War. However,
I'll be honest, I didn't know a lot about it.
Now,
I didn't really learn a lot about that in school.
As part of this party, like they're trying to steal it at this party,
right.
And in order to like make sure they don't have to buy more than one set, they have the zombies have clearly gotten out of control, and so they start invading this plantation party house where everyone already is.
Okay.
Okay.
I remember this sequence because this is where the slaves all escape. So what we've learned is that slave revolts or slave escapes all happen because of zombies.
Right,
right.
That's why
during the confusion,
Of zombies, like they made. That's actually what that seems.
Now again, and we were also learned. We also learned that unless you're going to get your comeuppance for being a slave owner and a mean one.
Oh yeah,
by zombies.
Right. Well, they make sure to like really nail home how evil the slave holder is. By the way, slaveholder, that falls in the category of like person you can do pretty much anything to, and that's fine.
Probably.
So he's being devoured by the zombies.
Okay.
Jackson hands him the slave holding guy a gun to be or like the slave holding guy has a gun and he's like Jackson says give me the gun I can shoot the zombies off of you.
The
slave holder refuses to do it and dies.
Jackson was going to save him.
Yeah, Jackson was going to save him. But
doesn't here's the thing that the first part was it was important that Jackson didn't change the past,
right?
Because Jackson chooses to let all of the slaves escape,
right?
So he chooses to change the timeline because his lesson that he learned is that slavery was so bad that it's worth changing the timeline for.
Yes,
and sometimes Pete, you have to stand up for what's right. But that completely goes against the entire show, the premise, and they never do that again because Jackson's lesson that we're supposed to take as a positive in the episode is I let the slaves go because slavery's fucked up.
Yeah.
Why don't you just
Wouldn't
go
you
back
then continue,
and stop the Holocaust? Right.
Wait,
and like,
I think there's an explanation in one of the later episodes of the show.
Okay,
like, and basically they say like the whole team is assembled,
right?
And the reason they're able to travel through time is that nothing they do matters. Like, they're insignificant to history. So that's why if they like leave part of history,
okay,
it doesn't make a difference.
So then they exist outside of time.
So they kind of like, if they
so
were,
why do they do anything?
Well, it's because
weren't they tricked or
if
something?
They, by... Well, if some of them were tricked, but some of them were like, if you stay in your timeline, nothing you do is going to matter.
Oh, this is what, like, you're telling me about one of them becomes a garbage man.
Yeah, like one of them becomes like, even though like
a shitty crap barker.
Basically,
the
if
worst
they,
of the right. worst.
If you go and do time travel shit, your life will have meaning and purpose. If you stay where you are, it doesn't matter.
You're a bum, Pete. You're a bum.
I gotcha.
And so, like, it doesn't affect... Basically, like, it doesn't affect history. Like, history as a whole is not affected by you.
How
so,
about herstory, Ian? Ooh, it's 2017.
No.
I guess my question then is, like, okay, so... In this show, they're going through time and sort of like correcting little errors in timeline. Is that kind of what's happening?
Yes.
Usually big errors.
Well, and and they're also like going through time, preventing the bad guys from changing. So one of the big conceits of the first season is that the one bad guy is going through time and collecting stuff to take over the future. But while he's doing it, he's also like... teaming up with bad guys in the time. So he's like, oh, they just sold a nuclear weapon to the bad guy in 1970. We got to get it off his hands.
It's like the bad guy in the first season, right, is just an immortal dude.
Right, he's immortal. So
he can just kind of like, he can live forever. He can just kind of hang around, try a plot out, you know, and sort of build up his influence.
Can I ask why they can't just time travel back to right before he originally time traveled and then
they
stop
never
him?
Talk about that.
This is not a time travel centric show than they time travel.
He has magic powers.
Okay.
That he can only be killed by these two annoying cast members.
Oh, God. The worst two actors.
Wait, what?
Did you know? Okay, so there's Hawkman and Hawkwoman.
They're like an Egyptian priestess and dude.
Yeah, he's really a dude bro. An Egyptian dude bro.
Like, what he does is kind of unclear.
And
the other two, like, the villain is like an advisor, and she's like a priestess, and he's like some dude who hangs out.
And so the villain wants to fuck
just
her
squats
bad.
Or something.
Like, Vandal is like, oh, I'm going to fuck her so good. And then dude bro comes in, and he's like, hey, baby. And then so he and she and dude bro make the sweet loves.
Okay.
And so why is it that their knives can kill him.
Oh,
it's because anything that was present.
I thought you were making the jack off motion.
It's
like,
ooh. It's much. That would be more fun. They have to jack off into his face,
and so it melts
Hawkman
him like
has
acid.
To jack into him. Yeah,
it's like for some reason, basically, if the bad guy kills dude bro and hot lady, hot girl, then he gets to sort of stay immortal.
Yes.
So he has to kill them both. And then
because they're reincarnated.
Stay.
So what happens is they continually get reincarnated, and then he kills them over and over, and then he absorbs their souls?
He absorbs their juice.
Their juice.
Right.
He jacks them off into himself. And,
right.
Then
he's immortal.
Immortal. And so the only way they can break the cycle is by stabbing him with their magic knives.
Right. And the magic
knives...
That's
not a euphemism.
Like, the magic knives... Okay. Have to be from like when he first killed them.
Yeah.
So like it has to be.
Can't they just give the knives to someone else?
I believe
no,
they have
can't.
To do it themselves.
They have to do it. Not only do they have to do it themselves, but only the woman can do it.
Which also makes it problematic whenever they capture him in the show, because this show they keep capturing him and then he's like, what you gonna do about it? What you gonna do about it? And they're like, fuck, you're right. And they just sort of have to let him go.
Yeah, like, where's the Hawk Woman? Why can't she stab him?
Point? Well, so he kills
Does she just
Hawkman?
Take off?
He killed Hawkman at one point.
And then
yeah.
you're like, shit.
But that doesn't matter,
do
right?
I mean, well, so then only Hawk Woman, because before they had two people that could stab and kill him.
Now they're down to one.
Now they're down to one.
Oh, no, they figured out, like, they
but
tried.
He brainwashed
like,
Hawkman.
Hawkman could stab him, but then it didn't work, because it's got to be her, because reasons in the show. Because
he wanted to bang her.
Right.
This is crazy.
It was so bad.
See, this is what I think makes... This is why this is so funny and weird, is because you're like, okay, I can hang with a show where it's like, They're fucking time traveling. There's a bad guy. His name is Vandal Savage. Right. He can only be killed by someone called Hawk Woman.
I want to spoil.
They have time knives.
Wait, I want to spoil a later episode that's even more ridiculous, where they have to retrieve a piece of the spear that killed Jesus from the flagpole.
Oh, yeah, the spear
on the moon.
Destiny.
Why is it on the flagpole on the moon?
Because it was hidden there so that he wouldn't get it.
Who? So the bad guys.
The bad guys. Vandal. Oh, but that's, you're right.
That's
this
the second
season.
Season. Yeah.
So
I
this
mean,
is the much
better.
If I had some shit
guys.
To hide, that's where I would put it.
That's what they thought.
That's what they
oh
thought.
Oh my God, this would be great if you were like, if you killed someone and then you had a friend who was an astronaut going to the.
Take his body.
Yeah, be like, will you take this gun? And just fucking just put it somewhere. I don't care. Just put it out the window. No one will find it.
The window. Time travel doesn't work.
Blow
like
it out the airlock.
I mean, time travel.
Space yeah, travel. I would be like, as an astronaut, like, listen, if you got some shit that you just do not want someone to find,
put
you
it
got,
in your space toilet for yeah. me. Flush this.
I know you think your computer has all that child pornography wiped right. off it, but you know they can find that. Send it with me. I will take it to space and just put it out the window.
I love that I was thinking of like meth. I was like, take this meth, like, and then yours was so much darker.
As a final check, like some NASA dude is checking your spacesuit, and they pull out like, what is this chip? What is on this flash drive?
Oh, Jesus my God. Christ. Neil Armstrong, you pervert.
So you were planning just, to yeah. upload this to the ship's computer?
Listen, this is not mine. This is clearly pictures of Buzz Aldrin's wife taking a dump on a glass table. I had nothing to do with that. You
Poor
can
Buzz.
See that it was Buzz.
Hey, who was the third guy on the moon?
Oh, fuck.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mike. No, not Mike.
Mike Jones?
Well, there wasn't a third guy on the moon. There's a third guy in the capsule.
Oh, because yeah. they didn't let him
go.
Come off.
Correct.
Yeah.
He had to stay in the capsule because they thought it was like 50-50 that they'd actually get back right. off the moon.
Right. God, that would suck so fucking hard to be that poor asshole. Yeah.
I read this thing about that guy because they basically were like, that was probably the human being in the history of human beings who's been the furthest from any other human being at any given time. Because when he was on the far side of the moon,
oh.
he would be further from anyone else than anyone's ever been.
Yeah.
What do you think he was thinking? I hope I get home?
I think so. I think he was like hoping that everything would work.
Yeah.
And probably, I read an interview about with him and he was saying basically he spent the whole time like going over the procedures and stuff. Cause
okay.
I think he probably was thinking like, I don't want to fuck this up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what he was really thinking was this lot in Hollywood is really impressive. I can't believe how much they made it look like the moon.
I can't believe this is going to work.
Yeah.
And when
People
we hide the spear that killed Jesus up there. Yeah.
And he was like, I hope that when I assassinate JFK, that people don't think that it was actually me.
I love this, like...
Can jet fuel melt steel beams? That's all he's thinking about.
He could see into the future, and he could see the conspiracy. We were just talking. Poonmaster Flex was telling me about some conspiracy, and then I was talking about 9/11, and, like, I don't really believe conspiracies, you know, but
right.
I was like...
It was an
it
inside job.
It is awfully
job.
Convenient that, you know, we went to Afghanistan, and then somehow we're just in Iraq. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
somehow... None of the terrorists being from there and but this was just sort of a continuation of the same war.
Right.
And I was like, that never made sense.
So what you're saying is you don't think 9/11 was an inside job, but you correctly think that the government used it as a convenient excuse
yes.
to go some, into. Yes.
They had this binder of like Iraq invasion plan.
Right, right.
Which they actually did have. Like they had like, this is what we're going to do.
And then, but once 9/11 happened, they were like, perfect.
How do we get enough buy-in?
Right.
And they're like, all right, well, if we just sort of segue into this other war from this first war that people were 100% behind.
Right.
And then we're just like, hey, also these guys are fucking around and we're kind of over here already. Let's just do this.
It's like a terrible mashup. Like if you had Confederate zombies in your 12 Years a Slave story into the same plot line. So
that would
be
fun.
Take these two wars and mash them together.
So they should have to go back to 9/11. And they should have a kooky A plot.
Oh, that would be fucking amazing.
Oh my God.
Uh-oh. We got to make sure that Tim takes a poop or something.
And they come in
but
and
then,
there's
like
the B-plot Navy SEALs like setting charges in the towers. If I was writing Legends of Tomorrow and they're like, you guys are, you know, 12 more episodes and then you're done, I'd be like, all right.
All right,
last
here we
one
go.
Is 9/11. Don't tell anyone.
You just put that on the like the whiteboard in the writing room, like 9/11,
right? Question mark.
And the guy, and like it cuts into the plane, like United 93, right. And the pilot is just like has an earpiece and he just puts his hand up to it and then nods to the co-pilot and steers.
Just right into the
never,
ground.
There was never even a terrorist aboard. Oh, and Jesse Ventura is the only one who knows the truth.
That's who they have to protect. They have to protect Jesse Ventura.
He's the only one who will speak the truth. Yeah. They won't believe him in his lifetime. But hundreds of years later, his groundbreaking work will prove.
You do a really good voiceover for like a bad... What channel is it? The History Channel. Who do it like... Yeah, aliens. Are they real? We can't know for sure. But on this episode,
but sure, why not?
Yeah, but they are.
I like the idea because we'll have like weird knockoff in the way like there's always weird knockoff versions of people.
Yeah. Right.
We'll have like weird CW low budget like looking Jesse Ventura.
So oh, yeah, it'll are be you saying that we are going to veil like all of this so that 9/11's not actually 9/11? They're just like the new. It wouldn't even be in New York.
You know what they have to do for the closing of the episode, even though it's going to be the end of the series? They're like, well, we have to make 9/11 happen for real. Oh, so they have to crash. That's how they end the show. They crash the Waverider into the Twin Towers and blow it up so that way it looks like 9/11 actually happened.
And it ends in the ashes, and Jesse Ventura's there, and he's like, maybe some kind of super plane could do this. Maybe some kind of time
only some
plane.
Kind of time
but we'll never know.
I was a governor.
That would be so I was in charge of a whole state.
Like, can you imagine, like, you're watching this, you've had, like, four beers, and you're just watching Legends of Tomorrow.
You're sitting
like,
with your kids, and there's, like, the first episode is, like, 9/11 was like, an inside job.
Fuck. Yeah, it's just called Inside Job. And you're like, I wonder what this is going to be about. And then halfway through, you're like, this can't be going where I think it's, right. Like, you can't
or
turn
away. Or it
has away.
To be a joke. You think that they're, like, going to make some sort of reveal. But then it just, no.
Yeah. Some kind of like weird alternate universe
or
thing.
Or maybe they're going to be like, you know what? This is our last episode. They're going to stop 9/11 because that's what they would do. And you're like, no, they steered the planes into the building.
The Waverider just kind of bumps these planes into the building.
Oh, God.
Nudges them along.
Umbilicus attached and they drag the plane into the building in stealth mode. Oh my God.
You know what's best is like the there's a group of Middle Eastern guys who are all happen to be on this plane who are trying desperately to fight the tractor beam and they wind up getting blamed for the whole thing.
We have box cutters. We can cut our way into the cabin.
Oh my God. We can cut our way out of this plane.
Yeah, maybe we can deploy the safety feature.
We may be Muslim and you might be Christians, but we're all in this together.
Oh yeah, it's yeah. Kirk Cameron's in it. And he's like, let's do it, brother. And they like clasp hands like in
let's
fucking
do
Predator.
It. Brother.
Pretty good.
That's what I'm talking about. Does the show still go or is it over?
I mean, after the 9/11 episode?
No, I mean, in
he's
real
back
life.
To,
oh,
yeah.
No, it's yep, no, it's still going.
Good. Okay, so this could happen.
Yeah.
If anyone's listening, feel free
to send, like, send CW, if you're listening, send us a check.
A small check, and you have every right.
We will give you, like, yeah.
At the front.
We'll just, I don't know if I want my name up front.
I know that.
Peter, Alec, Ian, head writers.
Why's your name first, buddy?
How about we'll give you a 50% discount if you don't have our names on it?
I want my pseudonym on there.
I had two other questions.
Can we make this Poonmaster flex? Like, yeah. Just give her credit for it?
Yeah, let's do that.
Jesus, Poonmaster. Oh, and like, your and the cat.
Who is this? Yeah.
I don't know.
Poonmaster flex and Disney.
Can I say the cat's name?
Yeah.
Why is Sicily's voice that?
Well, I think it's what Peter made up.
That's
so.
A voice I started know. Doing that Cassie really doesn't like.
Why does the cat sound
she's like
this?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to do that.
Can you say 9/11 was an inside job in the cat's voice?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how a plane works.
I am a cat. I walk through my own poop. I can't do it as well as you.
It kind of started when we were watching. We were watching this show, Cupcake Wars.
Okay.
Where, you know, people make cupcakes.
This is a thing you do
judged.
As a couple, right? Where you have to watch like a reality show about baking or.
Yeah, and you can only really watch a show that's like bad or great. You know what I mean? Like, I think when you watch a show as a couple, You can't watch like a mediocre show because it's like, one person's more into it.
And you can't laugh about it.
Yeah, yes. You can't just make fun of it.
The mediocre shows that Sarah and I watch together, one of us will inevitably quit. Yeah. But the bad shows and the great shows, we watch together.
Yeah, like we had a minor fight like a week ago because I was watching Castlevania on Netflix.
Oh, my God.
And she came over and I was like, yeah, it's not very good. And like the whole time she's just like huffing and chuffing and whatever. And I was like, I'm not going to watch this while you're like... critiquing it. Like, I know it's not good.
You're
right,
critiquing it non-verbally. Like, you're like, I'm not enjoying this.
Not only was it not very good, but since Warren Ellis wrote it, I was disappointed. There's a couple of really fucking thudded, like, one-liners.
Yeah.
A couple of the jokes. And it was just too short. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad it was so short because it was no good, but it was just a nothing. What was it, like, each was four episodes or something?
I think it's like four or six, and they're like 30 minutes or something. Well, and so, you know, I was like, listen, this isn't my favorite thing. But we can't watch this together because because
it makes it worse for you.
Well, and I don't want to have a fight with you about, you know, hey, could you just like not do that? Because I'm like, it is bad, but whatever.
Yeah. Like, I'm enjoying that it's bad and you're hating that it's bad.
Yeah. And so then like,
now you're divorced.
You got to just you got to just watch something that's great or just totally terrible. And those are the only things you can really watch. You can't watch those like mid-range things. Yeah. Doesn't work.
Maybe that's just like when you're at a certain point in your relationship where you can watch the tolerable things and you're like, that was mediocre.
So when you're bored with each other and you don't care.
Really, yeah.
Well, yeah, and you're just relieved to see something that you can both tolerate and you're like, 168 episodes.
I'm glad that most TV shows now are like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
There's very few television shows I've watched where I'm like, that needed another 10. I certainly wish that was a 23
Four more seasons.
We had this encounter the other night. Jen and I were watching a movie.
Right.
We were watching kind of like a double feature sort of thing.
Okay.
And like one of the movies was a documentary about dancing, like conceptual art. We got like...
Tell me more.
We got like... 3 minutes in at most, and Jen leans over and she's like, this is too weird for me.
That's for the best.
We were both a little high at the time. And so she was like, this is too weird. It's kind of freaking me out.
Right.
And so we're like, we have to watch. We definitely had to watch something else because it was one of those. It wasn't about being good or bad. It was just like, this is too weird. She said later, like, this is too weird. There's going to be an hour and a half of this.
Yeah. She made the right call early, though. And it probably was better because she didn't make you stop it halfway through.
No.
Because if you're committed, if you're like, this is crazy, and you're like, we've already watched half of it.
Right.
It's going to lead to another and chuffing fight.
I think that, Nicolas Cage has saved our relationship
Because you guys watch
knowing
all...
next all of these films
like these whenever
terrible, the rock. Terrible movies
like whenever
I'll rock,
take
I
pleasure in gutting you boy
whenever Poonmaster Flex comes over and is huffing and puffing about whatever you're watching
chuffing
you just be like and she'll blow your Netflix down. But like, you can just be like, listen, I got a whole list of Nicolas Cage films we can watch.
Well, no, we can watch those together because we both agree on their level of quality and what's enjoyable about
them. Con Air, fantastic.
Well, this is the thing is like, I think that when you watch something with someone, you have to agree on what's enjoyable about it. So when I'm watching Castlevania, basically what I'm enjoying about it is like, it's tolerable, and it's about Castlevania.
Right.
So that's about it, you know.
That's but like the descriptor of a lot of Castlevania games after, like, you know, the Super Castlevania.
Yeah.
Like, actually, probably about, like, 66% of Castlevania games are, like, it's...
most.
Yeah.
It's
I think there's, like, three good ones.
Symphony of the Night is one of
Symphony
the best
of
games
the Night,
of the all time.
The first one, Super Castlevania, but that's kind of a remake. And then maybe, like, Castlevania 3... But it's too hard.
It's way too hard.
Was Castlevania 3 the one where you could play as different characters?
Yeah.
Fuck that, too hard.
Way
the
too hard.
The second one is impossible.
Second one had, talking about the esoteric NES shit that you were talking about, don't you have to do things at like nighttime
if
and
you
daytime?
If you equip a crystal and go to a wall
and duck
and then
down,
kneel,
a tornado
comes and takes you to another spot. There is absolutely no indication of this in the game.
There is one person who talks about like do thing with a red crystal,
yeah,
and that's probably about as Ingrishy as it gets.
Right.
Where
it's crazy.
All your base belong to us.
It says something about... Yeah. Meet a duck in a graveyard, and it means like duck in a graveyard while you've equipped this thing, and you're like, that is not,
that is nothing. Like, you're waiting for a hint. Wouldn't it be great, like,
a mallard?
Yeah, like if a like if you duck down in the graveyard and a duck flew by.
Yeah, oh, or like you, there's a duck there you negotiate with and right. can bite him.
The duck is like,
listen, Howard, we gotta talk.
The duck is actually Dracula, or like Dracula's best friend.
Yeah,
to be
like,
Daffy's over here.
Transform into a duck now. I had
his
two.
His name is Draculard.
Two things Dracu about
Mallard?
This.
Malachard.
Malachard.
We did it.
Yeah, we did it, guys.
Okay. My first question was right. So we're talking about how in this show it was like, can you believe this motherfucker is a garbage man? What a horrible thing. Right,
right, right.
Let's say you're writing a show.
Was that on air? I hope. I don't remember what was on there. Okay.
There was a part where we were talking about Legends of Tomorrow, and a guy travels in time and then he becomes a garbage man, and everyone's like,
yep.
Well, he's completely wasted his life.
Right.
What job would you do, or how would you demonstrate in like 5 seconds of screen time viewed from 50 feet away that someone was wasting their life?
Falling on hard times?
Yeah. Like, if not garbage man, what career would you be like,
I mean, this would be... I was a janitor for 5.5 years.
I'm going to go in a different direction.
So you'd go janitor because you're like,
well,
I can speak from that world.
I guess I'm just saying, as a janitor for 5.5 years, I was pretty embarrassed to tell people I was a janitor.
Sure.
So I think that speaking not disparaging janitors, I mean, it wasn't a bad job. I made okay-ish money, but I was very embarrassed to tell people.
Okay.
So
I would go with assistant director on a reality show.
Oh, so you're going to like be like...
I mean, you don't make huge money, right?
Yeah.
Like you make kind of shit money. You have to work really long hours.
Right.
But
how many people are going to know that? Like Pete said, 30, like 10 seconds, 50 feet away, 5 feet away, whatever.
Or maybe like, yeah like it's the kind of thing where you contribute nothing to society, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
You're not even in charge. Like if you were the director of the show, you could at least tell people like, I'm a director.
But
that's
you can't show that. Like, okay, Pizza Hut manager.
Hut there we go.
Co-manager.
There we go. Taco Bell assistant manager.
Then you're like, ouch, that's hurtful to all the assistant managers at Taco Bell. But you're making it clear.
Yeah.
I agree with what you're saying.
They see him handing out the burgers at the window, and they're like, oh, God.
Junior senator from Alaska, like, it's tough to, like, make.
Yeah.
Unless you're, how do you make your point, you know? What would you pick, Pete? This is a tough one.
What would I do to show like this person's kind of just a
wasted
shit heel?
Yeah, well, and career, like you said, because otherwise, if you're like wasting their life, I would probably make them.
You
look
know what
like
I would do?
Like
I saw this news story
or drug addicts. Oops.
You know how every once in a while you come across a news story that you're like, how has this come into my sphere?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was a story about Justin Bieber was like backing out his truck and kind of partially ran over a paparazzi guy's leg.
Right.
And his leg was broken. And then also the paparazzi guy was like 55 or something.
Right.
I think that would be a great, because like no one really feels bad for those guys.
That's
and also
true.
Like you'd
scrolling.
Be like, oh, so he's just taking pictures of like tween celebrities.
People
on,
have
whatever.
Seen Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Like,
that was well done.
Yeah. That would be like, that's exactly who you'd be like, oh, you've wasted your life.
Like, you're
like
shit.
Those guys.
Shit.
Like where you're, all you do is you run around at night taking pictures of car accidents.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you said the perfect example just like 2 seconds ago, jizz mopper.
Yeah.
You could just have somebody who's working as like the night shift worker at
a porn store.
Porn store.
Especially so nowadays where it's like you're sort of the defender of obsolete porn media.
Yes. You're
like
selling VHS tapes and like butt plugs, but not online. You actually have to see the person buying the butt plug.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe also like if you were driving around, there's the car at the golf course that picks up the balls on the driving range.
Right.
It's just like, I mean, you know, he's probably not like the worst dude ever, but you're like, that's not a fucking career.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the same as being a superhero.
No, it's right. Like, it's a nice big drop because you're like, people don't care about you.
Yeah.
Dishwasher at a bar or something.
Yeah. Dishwasher would be good. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a good one.
Somewhere even shitty. Like, yeah, just a dishwasher, like a greasy spoon.
At a dive bar.
There we go.
Yeah. Maybe something like that.
How many
of
your listeners
getting thrown
are
thrown
really,
out of a dive bar?
If you're just a drone,
you
know I mean?
Well, but see that when you said job, because once you said like, how would I show somebody who's like fallen on hard times, a drug addict probably.
Well, drunk is a job,
junkie.
Right?
Ask your dad.
It's a full-time job.
Nice one.
Yeah, why not just show
that
him
that wasn't
prison?
Even to hurt you. That was
yeah.
They could just be like, what did he do? And they're like, I don't fucking know, but he's in prison
right,
now.
Right. Yeah, like just prison orange.
Yeah.
Just be like, yeah.
And then you could be like, okay, well, maybe he was a victim of the system. But anyway, you look at this, it didn't work out.
Right. Maybe yeah. he's in prison
he's
break.
Framed.
He was framed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
but it's wrong.
Which is weird because they also had people from prison break.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rory, he's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So. The other thing it reminded me of, I one time started writing this book because it was like, you know, everything was like a teen dystopian novel for a while.
Yes.
You so mean it's like, still?
Well, yeah.
Well, but it was worse with like Hunger Games, Maze Runner,
well,
Divergent.
Like,
thank you. Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, those were, isn't it great that those did so poorly in the box office that after the third one, instead of making the fourth one, they're like, oh, don't worry, we'll make this a TV show.
Yeah.
And then they were like, just kidding, we'll make this a TV movie.
Yeah.
And now they're like, just kidding, fuck you, we're not finishing
just
it.
Just kidding, we'll make it a book, which we already did.
Yeah, like, we'll make it not happen.
We'll give you the novelization of the movie. That was just a yeah. novel to begin with.
Right. We'll just make the book with a new cover that no one wants.
Sidebar, was there a novelization to the Jurassic Park movie?
I hope so.
Like, I feel like this is something that Helpful Snow fans should try to dig
up. I got two chapters through the novelization of the Batman 89 movie, and it's so bad that I have not even finished it, but it's very purple prose. So, sorry, Pete, you were writing a book that was about teen dystopia.
I had a... there's a junior novelization.
Okay, so there's like a kid novelization.
But that's kind of different, right?
Okay, yeah.
I got about two chapters into a Howard the Duck novelization.
Awesome.
So
is he trapped in a world he never made?
Yeah. It was fucking horrible. It was like worse than the movie. And it was...
Did it have the musical sequence in it still?
I didn't get that far.
Did he fuck Beverly?
The Duck.
I didn't even get to... Well, I got... Beverly was in it, but they had just met.
Oh.
Wait.
I didn't get far.
So, you were using Howard in a different...
It was a
Howard
novelization
inspired?
Of the movie, but like I got to... It took so fucking long to get to where he just got to Earth and
right.
like whatever, and it was really bad.
All right.
I had read somewhere that someone was like, you know, this is like a hidden gem because it was written by this comedy writer who'd done all this other stuff, and... Maybe the book was better than the movie and stuff, but it was like, no.
First of all, the movie's not terrible. As bad as its reputation
No,
makes
it's
it
really
out.
Not.
It's not an amazing movie, but it's actually pretty competent.
When people always compare it, they're like, it's a Marvel movie. So it's like, oh, it's like the Avengers. And you're like, well, it's not really like the Avengers, no.
And you can't even compare like the original Spider-Man to like the new Avengers. It's like,
right.
It's annoying.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like, I feel like people who really hate that movie don't really understand that they were very aware that this was a crazy idea.
Right.
Like, they're like, are we supposed to take this seriously? And it's like, no, you're not.
Right. It's like, it's funny.
It's bizarre.
Like,
yeah.
Well, yeah. He was in the bathtub with like the other naked duck or whatever.
Right.
And like, that was clearly supposed to be
yeah.
kooky.
Yeah, I thought so. So anyway, and right. like, there was like these dystopic novels, right? And everyone had its own little premise. Like, in a world where we've run out of gasoline, or like in this world, the moon has moved slightly closer and changed the climate, or like all this shit.
Right.
We ran out of something. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like something. So mine was about a world in which we ran out of fossil fuels and stuff, and some inventor created machinery that was all powered by semen. So basically, and like it kind of all started in my mind with a scene where they had to make a getaway, but you know, every car is like out of gas, so a guy has to get out and like jerk off into the gas tank real quick so they can make their getaway.
You should write for Rick and Morty. This sounds like a really good premise.
I just thought it would be so funny.
Like one of those like interdimensional cable shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It and does.
Semen
no.
World.
I was thinking
Jizz
that,
World.
That this could just make a really funny. You could make a really good, funny 22 minutes out of this.
Right. Like, I think so.
You could make it like your own tech war parody, like call it Jizz War.
I have all these book ideas, but they're like really good for 20 minutes.
Right.
Like right. I had another one where, you know, someone was telling me about a romance book that
okay.
I was just like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like everything's a romance. And so then I was like, you know what would be funny is to write a romance book. Now it has a preface to it.
Okay.
Where I'm like, okay, so I thought vampires were the thing and then werewolves and so on.
Right.
So I was like, what's the next thing going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I
Mummies.
Hedged my bets and said centaurs. Okay. So then it's a romance about a centaur who meets a woman, you know, but he dresses his top half like a horse so he can be in disguise and pull carriages. Okay. You know what I mean? But then, and like the little guy who sits on the carriage is just a dummy.
Right. It's so actually him.
Like, yeah. And then he falls in love with this woman.
I like the idea that this horse is going to have a weird giant S shape.
Well, also,
like he's going to be like this really misshapen horse. That's why the dumb, that's why the carriage guy is dumb, is he's like, I don't know what a horse is supposed to look like. Like horses don't have this weird vertical space in them.
He just leaned forward the whole time.
Well, and also it turns out that every time he fucks a horse, it makes another horse. But if he fucks a human, it makes a centaur. And so then that's how you discover he basically has this entire, you know, all the carriage industry, like in New York and Central Park, is basically because he's fucked all these horses.
So he will fuck a horse or a woman, though? I love that he's
attracted
to both.
Well, now he's fallen in love with a woman. But see, this is a big scandal.
But I get that, like...
He's had a life of, like, fucking horses.
Right. He was a horse fucker.
Yeah.
Right.
Normally. And now he's like, but I got to fuck this woman.
Well, and here's where the big scandal comes in. She's like a huge animal rights activist.
So she's against the sort of captive breeding of carriages.
Right. They're like, how could you fuck this horse, man?
Right. Because she's like, is it right for me to fuck a centaur? Is a centaur an animal or a man? You know, and he's like, I'm a man. And she's like,
I'm not a man, I'm a centaur.
Exactly.
I'm me.
And you should love me. Don't put me in a box.
Right.
Yeah.
I just thought that would be, I thought the fun part of it to me was writing the preface where I'm like explaining like, so I kind of thought centaurs would be the next big thing. And it turns out I was totally wrong.
What is, do we have a next big thing yet?
I think
after vampires, I guess it was zombies, right? But zombies have been the big thing for a long time now.
Yeah, I feel like they've come and gone. I feel like maybe there was some superhero in there for a while. Like everything was like,
because they did
a
like
kid
shows.
Discovers he's got a superpower. And
or they're like, this regular American family has powers.
I think maybe science was kind of a thing where it's like, all right, this family is all science geniuses, or like you know, we're gonna use science to blah blah blah, or like Big Bang Theory is kind of like, what if science people were like people,
human beings?
Yeah.
What if we put a bunch of science people in an apartment and made fun of them
for like 12 seasons
forever?
Well, really the thing is that, you know, it's a crime show with a weird device like a CSI or
I thought you meant Pete's like, centaur story. And I was like, tell me more.
What's the device?
Like, the centaur has to, he fucks somebody to death, but you don't learn that until it's like,
that would be like, aren't you waiting for the Mr. Hands episode of CSI? Like, I would watch that.
I don't know what Mr. Hands is.
That has to. That's that horse that fucked some guy to death.
I mean, like, can you really blame the horse? What? That guy wanted to be fucked by a horse.
Yeah, he made
the
mistake.
They put
the
horse down, did they?
I think the horse ended up still being around. Someone made a documentary about it called, I think, Zoo or something.
Yeah.
And it was basically, they were kind of like, well, what do we do with a horse that's fucked somebody to death?
Well, nothing. I mean, it's not the
horse. I know, but like...
Well, I mean, did the horse get a taste for fucking men? Did it like start to try to fuck everyone to death that
it's
it saw?
It's in alleys in the street with a trench coat, right? Like the thing.
It's stalking me.
Right? Just some guy, like the next farmer just like woke up and the horse was in
bed.
Could this
be the villain
like,
in your centaur thing? Where it's like a horse, the horse rapist?
Mr. Hands is a bad man. Stay away from him.
Really, he's a human rapist. So his name is confusing.
I think it was just more like, you know, if you own this horse... Because, like, okay, right. I think the horse Mr. Hands was on a farm where people brought people out to have sex with animals.
Yeah, like, they had, like, a weird society of people who were, like, interested in having sex with animals then taking that to the next level.
All right.
So then I think that it was like, okay, well, obviously it gets taken away from those people.
Right.
But then, like, you as a farmer, you have a horse and you're like, I mean, it's just kind of weird because it's like that horse you have. Oh, that's a nice looking horse. And you're like,
it fucked a man to death.
Yeah, it killed a man with its dick.
So did it mix up the guy's innards?
Or
did
it fall? It perforated like his insides and he died.
God.
Yeah.
I don't know, too. I think there may have been an issue where it like you know, mortally wounded him and maybe he would have been able to get help, but it's like he's not going to go to the fucking emergency room.
And they're like, what happened? He's like, ah, horse fucking.
No one's going to be no one else in the society is going to drop him off.
Right. No.
So here's the problem with that horse. It's gay.
Listen, I know it's a beautiful horse. There's a short story, a Chuck Palahniuk short story
about a gay horse.
Well, no, about it's basically about a fictional version of Mr. Hands, where it's like there's a dad and his daughter wants a pony, and he goes out and buys this pony, and he's like, man, this pony is like really cheap, you know what I mean? Right. And like it's in good shape and everything like that, and then later he discovers that it was basically Mr. Hands, and that's why it was so cheap, and that's the one he bought for his daughter.
Is the twist that it fucks his daughter?
No.
Come on, Chuck.
It's just weird that he's just like, okay. Yeah.
Do you think he watched like the episode of Seinfeld with the red dot and the cashmere sweater, and he's like, I need to go further.
He's like, what's my version of that?
Right. What is my version of that?
What's the Chuck Palahniuk version?
Of the red dot and the cashmere sweater.
That's fair.
I mean, it's a good question, like, what becomes of a horse that fucks a man to death?
Do you think he regrets the fact that he didn't have access to Jason Alexander to have George Costanza get this horse?
Serenity now.
For his story?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
So that would be an interesting crossover, Seinfeld and the Chuck Palahniuk extended universe.
I think you'd have to have, who's the next-door neighbor? You'd have to have Cosmo Kramer, because he's just weird enough. Jerry, we gotta fuck the horse.
Yeah.
You'd have like some scheme.
Yeah, you know? There's gotta be,
some kind of plot.
Yeah.
That would be great.
And Jerry'd be like, I'm not gonna fuck a horse. But then he does.
He would never do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he would have to for some reason. Yeah. He would get talked into it.
And then Elaine would
the
be
suits
like,
of NBC want it for the show.
She'd walk in when he's doing it. And she'd just leave and they'd be like, Elaine, wait, you don't understand.
So. What was that? Was kind of like, what was the Kevin Smith movie where they had the donkey show in it? Clerks 2?
Clerks 2,
yeah.
Yeah, that whole thing was very weird. It was like, I don't get why they're having a donkey
Smith
show
got a
right
little
now.
Weird.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, even like Zach and Mary Make a Porno was fun, but then he had like her poop on him or whatever.
Yeah.
And you were just like, he's just a little childish.
I just didn't understand like the donkey show. I didn't get it.
I think they needed something like they did a sequel and they had to make it more Clerksy than Clerks.
He needed to be he needed to do something controversial. And since them like getting their watch stuck in the grandma's vagina that they didn't show or whatever was like,
I mean, Tarantino had already done a watch up a dude's ass.
That's true.
For several years.
For years.
And he really sold it too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those were my only two things.
Oh.
Which terrible job would you pick? And also sperm-powered society is what I put.
You really should start trying to write a television show. Like
a series of shorts or a sketch comedy show.
Yes.
I just wish I knew like an animator who could bring these things to life. Like I think I could do a real good sort of Twilight Zone, except they're not all like twist endings and horror. It's just like, here's a fucking weird idea.
Right. Picture, if you will, jizz cars.
Yeah, I think I really like the idea
of like a dignified Rod Serling-esque type like coming out and saying whatever weird premise you have completely straight faced.
Well, and I think the camera would pull out and it turns out he was like jerking off into an open watch, you know, and then he like closes it and it starts ticking, you know. Like that's how
somehow in the beginning of every episode you incorporate his dick.
Yeah.
So like for the jizz car he's beaten off on something, but for like no matter what your episode is.
Yeah.
It's be Rod Serling's dick.
It all came together to me with the image of a guy, you know, sweating and it's like action movie music and he's just like trying to jerk off into a gas tank of a car.
You gotta get hard.
Yeah.
It's flaccid.
Well, it doesn't help when you're yelling at me. Yell something sexy instead.
Yell something sexy.
Okay. Well, because it's you guys, I of course had a game.
Now, right. I was on the way here, I was trying to think, are we even or have you surpassed me in games?
Oh, I think I'm still behind.
Oh, wow. I thought you were ahead.
I'm pretty sure.
So, all right.
I've been doing well recently.
You have been doing well lately.
I've been in quite a hole.
Well, you've been doing well, though. I guess you're getting out of it, but I have been really not doing well. So I got to redeem myself. This is important to me. Let's just put it that way.
I also won the newlywed game. Which I didn't play against you, but I did win.
Against your wife, yeah.
That's right. I love you, Jen, but I totally beat you.
So I was going to do, I was looking for shows, and I found one called Holmes and Yo-Yo, which was about, it was like a detective who was partnered with an android. The reason being, like, there was this comment someone put on it, like, well, a lot of critics didn't really care for some of the weirdness of it. Like, for example, the android spending a large amount of time lamenting that he didn't have genitalia.
What station was this on?
Please say UPN.
Well, this was on ABC in the 1970s.
Oh, it was in the 70s. Yeah. Okay. That's even better because that's like now it would be just, I don't know, dumb joke. But then it seems like inappropriate.
Yeah.
They're like, why does this android want a dick so bad? It's the 70s.
Yeah, but then like the summaries were not very funny. It was like, you know, one of Holmes's reliable contacts reveals that an important person with City Hall connections is bringing in stuff from abroad.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not just only like
it's vague. Also vague and like really could be about anything. Like if you told me that was an episode of The Wire, I'd be like,
okay, I know what that is.
I'm like, all right. I understand. It could be an episode. It could be a totally different show.
It's an issue of Lois Lane, Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane.
It's like a real, you know what that is? It's almost a Parks and Rec Netflix description where they have like a really vague, like,
right.
Here's something that here's like
something look, that happened in the episode.
It's like, look, you're going to watch this whether you, you know, based on this description or not. You're not even reading this description. You're high right now and it's just kind of like blowing by you as words.
I don't like to smoke weed, but your fun descriptions of watching shows on weed makes me want to get high and watch a show.
By the way, going back, Legends of Tomorrow, much better if you're high. You're going to accept a lot of the dumb parts a lot more readily.
You'll be like, yeah, we are people.
Did you? Did you? I was just going to say, did you watch that episode when you were high?
I did, and I still thought, like, I was like, man, this is dumb.
Now, did you go back afterwards, like, the next day and be like, did that really happen? Like,
you're like, maybe I was too high.
No, I would have doubted it at first, but then, like, at the end of that particular episode, when the same spiritual came back a second time, I was God. I definitely saw that.
And to be the actors, they're like, all right, guys, we need you to sing a spiritual, and you're like,
it makes me wonder if they thought like we had if like they had to pay for the rights for this, and they're like, we paid for the rights for this song, so we got to use it twice.
I'm guessing
they had to pay for the rights for a slave spiritual because didn't realize like that those are probably in public domain.
Yeah,
I was gonna just
say, I would think so.
I would hope so.
Also, just out of curiosity, do you happen to remember which episode preceded and followed this? Like, what was the
I think there's something with samurai right after that.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, another episode where we learn that the value of family and friendship, I think.
Because right.
He wants to bang the chick.
Yeah.
But she can't leave because
family? It would be like she's supposed to marry the shogun or something like that. Right. But no, she has to stay and defend her family because she's the brave one.
Right.
So
right.
She can defend her family from
Mulan.
Oh, my God. They have
Mulan.
Like...
But Japanese, not Chinese, you racist fuck.
Oh, well, but that's like basically what's going on in that, right? Some chick's got to take up the sword.
That is a euphemism. So it's pretty...
Is that the twist ending for like the end of the thing where they figure out that vaginal fluid and seminal fluid work equally well?
Yeah, then it's a female empowerment story.
There's another thing, and I'll stop talking, but you brought us back to it, so it's your fault. The Legends of Tomorrow in the second season, the guy who they have be like the nerd scientist is the douchiest fucking nerd bro. He's like,
the historian guy.
The historian guy. So he's supposed to be like this intelligent, nerdy historian guy, but he's like a chiseled jaw, like the best looking guy who fucks like most of the chicks on the show.
I think he has sex with everybody except the captain.
And the lesbian.
Yeah, well, that's the same person.
Oh, the captain from the second. Yeah. I was like, geez, he's a little effeminate. But
every woman he encounters, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and then he's just. He's not a great actor, and he plays douchey, and I'm just like, you guys really miscast the nerdy historian.
It looked like they cast somebody based on like photographs,
right?
And they're like, to get super nerdy here, if you ever played that old game Shenmue,
No, I have not. I like
where they
the
had
name,
the
though.
Voice actor. Shenmue. This is a great thing. They casted the voice actor for the main character because he looked really good.
Right,
because
he
to be in a video game. Wow. As a voice actor.
Nice.
So no one would ever see him.
Right, no one would ever see him.
That's pretty great.
And so it's the same thing here, similar thing here where they're like, oh, well, he looks like handsome.
It was confusing. It was poor. So the game. All right, so that didn't work.
Okay, so I found another show called Me and the Chimp.
Me and the Chimp.
From the 70s, from ABC. Okay. I have the intro queued up here.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. There's a three-panel thing showing a guy and a chimp in a 70s house. They're not doing very much of anything.
Is there an actual chimp?
There's a chimp.
Okay.
Starring Ted Bessel. He's making a weird look. Now there's some lady with short hair, who I guess is the love interest.
For the monkey or for the guy?
Anita Gillette for the guy.
This music sounds like if I'm pushing a shopping cart.
Yeah.
Or like if I'm playing Super Mario 3.
Now the chimp is dousing
actually,
a guy with the
like
hose.
This would be like if I'm playing like a Mario game right now. Like, yeah. This is about right.
I want to see if it'll say also starring and have the chimp's name in there.
I don't think they gave chimps names in the 70s.
They probably should.
They were just done blasting them into space.
That's how Planet of the Apes is.
Amadeus, okay. Amadeus.
Didn't
this
say.
Will be like the Negro minstrelsy on the Planet of the Apes, where they're like, look what they made us do.
Most valuable primate.
Yeah. You're like the uncle chimp.
All right, so here's...
They're not that bad. They gave me a real nice room.
Here's the premise. Mike Reynolds is a dentist who lives with his wife, two children, and a chimp named Buttons, a washout from the space program.
Oh, nice.
That's
okay.
Not known to Mike and his family until an old army sergeant visits.
Wait a minute. So what? Were they given a cover story? This chimp was a...
Let's see. The first episode basically says Mike's life as a dentist becomes more complicated when his daughter brings home a chimp named Buttons.
Okay, that's
he doesn't just hit her and then like get rid of the chimp.
I wonder like what kind of job would be made easier if you brought home a chimp, aside from like chimp handler.
That's and like circus.
That's yeah,
guy.
Circus guy.
That's a good question.
You know, zoo owner.
Maybe dog fighter.
Oh, because
you
could
put your chimp in to fight the dog. I feel like a
you
chimp
have
could probably fuck up a dog.
You know what
I
you
bet
could
a chimp
do?
Could fuck up a dog pretty good.
You could make the chimp like your ring card girl. The chimp like holds up the cards as it walks through.
I mean, it'd be funny.
Yeah.
You're right about. At first, I thought you were like, because it's sexy, just like a ringside girl, and I was like,
no. episodes revolve around Buttons.
Yeah. Was it a boy? Is Button Mr. Buttons or Mrs. Buttons?
It's a boy.
Okay.
Episodes revolve around Buttons' doings or undoings, such as extending the line Mike drew on a map to mark their driving route onward so they end up in a ghost town, and stealing an alarm clock, which gets Mike arrested for public indecency. I know.
Okay,
the
so
A
like,
to B is not real strong with these plots.
This seemed like basically like they had a show around like a mischievous kid. And then the child star backs out last minute, so they're like, fuck
he
it, get
a
monkey.
He died of a drug overdose, so they're like, well, there's also a monkey over there.
Right, like, fuck it, just get a monkey.
Yeah, or someone's just got a spare chimp, and they're like, well, we got like one season of show out of him before he comes to sexual maturity and then starts killing people.
Yeah,
like,
before he rips somebody's
dick
off.
Before he becomes a killing machine.
My kid won an ape in a contest, and I need to find some place to put it, not in my house.
Yeah, he's like, basically, my life is the version of this show, except I figured out how to pawn off this ape on somebody else.
This is going to, like, the last episode of the show is where life imitates art.
Yeah.
And the monkey kills him.
There you go.
That would be great.
The monkey rips his face off. Yeah. Then you have the new spinoff, Monkey Face Off.
Monkey Face.
Got his face stuck on his face.
Just have the ape mimicking Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, John Woo could have it so that he's filming the ape looking in the mirror and then Nicolas Cage looking in the mirror on the other side.
Right.
Oh, man.
And then that creepy part with John Travolta, like, sexually molesting his daughter because it's not really John Travolta.
That was great.
Nicolas Cage.
Also,
stabs him in the leg.
I liked the part where he's like, I got to go kill myself, basically, but the other guy, and the wife is like, just so you know, we've been living as like man and wife.
Yeah,
and you're like,
him.
Oh, I mean,
oh, and not only that, but they intimated that he couldn't get it up.
Yeah.
Right? He was like, I'm on dick pills, but they're not working because it's the early 90s. Yep. And then she's like, You've been really good in bed lately.
And also, I was like, wait, he's going to go have a shootout with this guy. I mean, maybe, like, just not tell him that and, like, deal with it later.
Well,
maybe he'll die and you won't have to deal with this.
He didn't fuck the sexy Ava Mendez or whatever either. He just, like, had a heart-to-heart with his son, right?
He had, it was he's a Gina. Like, he didn't fuck Gina Gershon.
Gina Gershon, yeah.
He protected the son in a firefight. It was like when his wife was like, just so you know, we've been living as husband and wife. He was like, oh, yeah, I guess I could have just done her. And it's like, because really... If you're in a face-off,
okay,
and you cheat on your wife, does it count?
I hope Jen's not listening to this.
I mean,
you guys are the only two who are married.
Yeah, I mean, it does count, but you could just claim that you had to do it to keep your cover.
Yeah, I'd like to stay alive.
Or I mean,
I had to fuck Gina Gershon to stay alive. Jen.
I would fuck her to stay alive too.
I know that, like, when I say it out loud, it doesn't seem true, but it's true. I had to fuck Gina Gershon to stay alive and
for
not
you.
Blow my cover for us.
Yeah.
You know what would have not kept this marriage together? Me being killed by Gina Gershon for not fucking her.
Now let me ask this question: your wife has been sleeping with your enemy.
Right.
Your total enemy because you
but she thought it was
face offed. Yeah, right. But she thought it was you. Do you think you'd be able to like come back from that?
I would wonder like you why she needed to tell me how much better he was and right before I go rescue our daughter and fate and shoot him.
Yeah.
She's like, Hey, he was way better than you in bed.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I think I would get a lot more vegan running tips from friend of the show and deep enemy of mine, Matt.
Okay.
So
that's who your enemy is. With?
He knows why.
Did he have sex with Jen?
Well, not yet.
Did you guys
we're not in a face-off situation. I mean, I imagine if I were in a face-off situation with anyone, it would probably be Matt.
Okay,
it makes the most sense.
I'm trying to wonder who I would have a face-off situation.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who my enemy is that I would face off with.
Right.
Janine Reed. Uh-oh.
That would be weird.
I'm not supposed to use names. I apologize. Strike that. Can you edit that?
My enemy is.
I don't think it would really work because like the face off thing doesn't work. Like if you had to cross genders, because like the thing in face off was like, oh well, they're like the same height and body type.
So, oh, that's true. The body type was pretty great. Because they're like, we gave him some light lipo. They had to do that
too. Because you're like, John Travolta's a little soggy.
Yeah,
like, this is when Nicolas Cage was going to be Superman.
Right.
Who would be your like? I can't think of
my enemy.
Anybody. Yeah.
The person who I hate the most, who I would become.
Well, it doesn't even have to be hate, but just I don't think you hate Matt,
who killed my son. Yeah. Who's just my opposite.
Yeah.
I just picked somebody who was listening to the show so I could call them out.
That's fair.
Who's not coming to be a guest very often.
The only one that I know that listens to the show besides Matt is Jen. And I can't really take Jen's place.
That would be super
I don't
want
to have sex with you, Ian.
I also like the idea that your face would be on a black woman's body. And it would just be like, what is going on? Like,
that would be the best face-off remake ever.
And then my body would be doing
a like badly sewn on and like sort of halfway. And it's like
it's constantly like kind of. Like, they didn't bother to, like, blend it at all.
Jen gets her face back, and she's like, seriously, you couldn't tell the difference?
And Sarah's like, yeah, I'm not racist. I don't see color.
Right. You didn't notice there's a dick.
Like, my pudgy white body with a dick?
I mean, yeah, like, put aside everything being, like, I don't know, their personality completely changed. Their wardrobe was totally different. They went to work at a different place at a different time.
Jen's walking around like...
Quote, unquote, Jen kept leaving to take care of his daughter.
All of a sudden, all these minibus start appearing in our apartment.
Yeah, you have a really big comic collection, though, so
that's
good
right.
news. Good news.
I do live next to a comic store, too.
Really?
I do.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Do you go there a lot?
I actually haven't been there in a while.
Wow.
I have become a digital comics reader. Yeah. So, like, I mean, it's just...
I get everything online, so for me to go to a comic convention, it's not nearly as fun as it used to be, because I've rifled through 4 or 5 boxes, and then I'm like, there's too many fucking people around. These are way overpriced. I own a lot of them. If I don't, I don't want to, because I have a very specific list of what I still need. Right. And lastly, I can get them fucking cheaper online.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit of the fun out of it.
But... It does. The internet has killed some of the fun of collecting and reading comics.
Yes, it has.
I'm very confident in that.
I'd say it's killed the fun of collecting it. Reading them, digital
it gives,
stuff.
You can read like, them more. The nice thing is if you download them illegally, which I didn't used to do, but then I was just like, fuck it. You can get some that you wouldn't be able to afford and that aren't reprinted.
But they need to make a reader that's got a 2-page spread that's like full size. Yeah.
Because they're like, too small.
Yeah.
And then some of them you can't even fucking enlarge it.
Right.
So you're like, what?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay.
So, okay, the chimp.
So I have 5 episodes.
Pedro and the chimp.
Of whatever the hell, me and the chimp.
Who
the
remembers chimp who had to start first
me
last
Me and the
time?
Chimp. That's what it's called. Mm-hmm. I can't remember
so
who started
So should we flip
first.
A coin or
Yeah,
something?
We probably should. Hang on. Right.
I got a coin.
Got to get a coin.
Yeah, you do.
We got to make this, you know, official.
Well, I mean, yeah. Right. This is important to me. I want to win this shit.
It's a quarter.
Quarter.
Do you want to call it?
Yeah, I'll flip and you call
you
it.
You flip and I'll
and
call.
And we'll make it hit the table here.
Perfect.
All right. So ready?
Yep. Heads.
Okay, so it fell on the floor, but we'll still count it.
It's tails.
Yeah!
So you get to decide which one of us goes first.
Is it tails?
I think that I will have you guess first.
That's the smart. That's what I want you to do, too.
So I'll read the 5.
Okay.
Okay.
And then, you know, we'll try and
And I am,
try
to remind
guess.
Myself, I am guessing which one... That is real.
Is real. There's one fake.
Right.
That four
you made
real.
Up. So I'm like, this one was real.
Yeah.
And I believe last time I guessed and I fucked it up the first guess.
This game seems to get fucked up early.
Right.
I put a lot of work into this.
You do too well.
All right. Number 1. Buttons meets a female chimp named Mildred that he's attracted to. But when Mike attempts to discuss the situation with the other chimp's owner, he's distracted by the chimp's babysitter, a beautiful Swedish blonde.
All right.
Awesome.
Number
so 70s.
Swedish blonde. Go.
Swedish.
Go.
Number 2. After Buttons loses his flashlight at a drive-in movie theater, the chimp keeps the neighborhood in turmoil while the item is missing.
All right. You're too good at this because I'm like, that sounds a little boring and weird, but maybe that's what you did.
Maybe that's the trick.
Yeah.
Ah.
The best trick the devil ever pulled.
Oh, also, I think I only have 4.
Have you ever been to a drive-in movie before, Alec?
Yeah.
It seems like a flashlight would have actually come in handy.
Yeah, for to see the popcorn.
At a drive-in?
To see
To get to the, get to the concession stand and back.
I agree with you. I always, even as a person who stayed up late, it was always too late. I like the idea of watching 2 movies in a row more than I like the execution.
See, like, I've done that, and it's like you realize, like, wow, time has really flown by.
So you're saying you enjoyed it because it went fast?
I think it's one of those things that I enjoy it at home. And like in the drive-in environment, I've never enjoyed any of the movies.
Yeah,
I kind of can't
fair.
Hear them. You can't see anything.
No, it's too dark.
Yeah.
Like the screen is way too dark.
You got to go to a movie where the visuals are not important.
Yes.
And I think where it's bright. So it's got to be like a comedy.
I saw, like or a cartoon way. Movie, like
or
an animated
cartoon.
Movie.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I saw Madagascar, and I hated the movie, but I could understand what was happening.
Right.
Then I saw, I think, like a spy movie of some kind. I mean, I saw like one of the Bourne movies, and also I had seen like Quantum of Solace, which has a lot of text in it.
Ugh, yeah.
And I'm like, I can't.
That was dark.
And I can't see.
And not very good.
I can't see anything. So I was like, they would like all of a sudden read a really important text message, rush off. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, you guys.
I've seen some of the worst drive-ins.
Peter's
I
seen
saw,
things.
The Hulk. The Ang Lee Hulk that was
when
too
you
dark
talked
on a screen.
That
yeah.
You were like, he became some sort of like a dust monster at the end. Or like,
Yeah. And that one was too dark to see in the regular movie. I didn't know what the fuck was going on the whole time. I saw one of the later Harry Potter movies.
Also
very dark, and I didn't know what was going on.
I saw Batman Begins.
That was dumb.
Oh,
that, was
nice.
That was a bad
that
choice.
Is a bad one.
Also, Harry Potter was a double feature with, it was a romantic comedy with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds, where one of them is she's Canadian and has to marry him. The proposal.
Oh.
It was fucking terrible.
I never did see that
I woke up in Betty White. It was funny because she was on weed drugs.
And ooh, Betty also, White got high?
Yeah. It was so bad.
All right.
Antics so ensued.
So we've got like the flashlight and then the drive-in.
Well, here's the problem. You said there's only four?
I found the other one.
Okay.
Okay. Number three, after Button saves a kitten from a tree, he becomes a local celebrity. But Mike is concerned that Button's ego is getting swollen.
So is his dick.
Number four, Buttons helps Mike cure a small case of bigotry at the local country club.
A small case of bigotry.
Yeah, just a little.
God.
I like this.
These are all pretty good, Pete, because like every single one I could see you making up.
I would love that pitch in the writer's room, too. Like, there's a small case of bigotry at the writer's. Actually, with a show like this, it's like, there's probably one guy who just wrote all
That's
of them
true.
In a weekend.
That's
oh,
true.
Yeah. I don't this think this was a heavy.
One guy did coke and just like fucking pushed through real fast.
You got something to fill in mid-season? How about some shit with a monk? Fine.
Fine.
That's fine.
Like he sort of wakes up in a drunken stupor, writes a couple things, like yep. drinks himself to sleep again and wakes up again.
I hate my life so much. Then he's like makes a do-do-do-do-do-do.
Okay, these are good.
Last one.
Okay.
After Mike squabbles with his son's basketball coach, he takes over the coaching of the team, which eventually involves Buttons.
Damn. So you've got two mundane ones.
Yeah.
Like, Buttons is also involved, and uh-oh, he lost his flashlight.
Right.
Then you've got three kooky sounds real ones.
Yeah.
So the...
Quick recap. Button meets a female chimp. Mike meets the owner, which is a Swedish blonde. Button loses his flashlight. Neighborhood in turmoil. Button saves a kitten. Mike's concerned about his ego. Buttons helps Mike cure a small case of bigotry at the country club.
Right.
And Mike is a basketball coach, and Buttons is eventually involved.
I'm torn between two.
Okay.
And I'll tell you... It's the Swedish one because that sounds so goddamn 70s. And there's like a girl monkey.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it just screams real, but that might be the problem right there. And then the small case of bigotry, because that's either you did that and well done, or they actually were just like, he fixes racism.
Sure. Right.
So.
As chimps do.
I feel like. So I'm gonna.
Chimps don't know racism.
I'm gonna have to go with the Swedish one. That's real.
The Swedish one as real. You are correct.
Uh-huh.
That is real.
Ding, ding, ding.
That one's gone.
All right.
Excellent.
All right.
So I'm coming in. So I have to pick a real one.
You have to
you
pick
have
another
to say,
real
is
one.
Is flashlight real? Bigotry real?
The kitten.
Kitten.
Or the basketball.
And basketball.
Yep.
I think I'm gonna go with the. I'm going to go with the basketball one as a real one.
Okay.
I mean, I think the sort of Buttons happens to be involved leaves it open to all kinds of comic possibilities.
You are correct.
Yes.
Damn.
That was one of my favorites going through because it's just like, which eventually involves Buttons because you're like, yeah, no shit.
Right?
Like, this is someone where, like, someone was writing the description. And they're like, oh, we don't really want to, like...
Yeah, we didn't watch
fuck it.
We watched, like, the commercial for it.
Like, whatever Buttons does is so intricate and important to the plot that they can't reveal it.
Yeah. It's like doing an episode of Roseanne. They're like, and then Roseanne becomes involved. And you're like, duh. Like, I would think so.
The title character is involved in something?
A character from the school at Lanford becomes in trouble with the law. The Connors become involved. You're like, okay. I would think so.
An episode of NYPD Blue where like a crime happened and the police are involved.
Somebody's raped and then murdered. Or
there's
murdered
a crime.
And raped.
An investigation begins.
By the way, NYPD Blue, totally contemporary reference.
Yeah. Did that end in like 1989?
It was like the newest cop procedural. It's the
most recent cop procedural I've seen.
Okay,
all right.
So now we've got flashlight at the drive-in, saving a kitten, and curing the bigotry.
I've got to stick with my gut and think that you didn't make this one up because it sounds so foolish and bigotry. I'm saying that's real.
You are correct.
Yes! Oh. Yes! Yes!
Also a great description because you're like,
a mild
wait, what?
Kid.
Why? How?
Yeah, like, yeah, it does lend itself, that description lends itself to only questions. How does the monkey cure the bigotry?
And why? And how? Why is the monkey the right choice
to do that? What's
a
mild case?
I don't know.
I mean, hey, Ian, I don't like your people. That was mild case of bigotry.
And how does a monkey's involvement turn someone around? Right. Much like the question of, like, okay, we were just asking, how does somebody watching, you know, Legends of Tomorrow fight Nazi Confederate soldiers change someone's opinion on racism?
Right.
But I would go even further and say, how does a monkey?
We've somehow gotten a little closer.
Maybe
he
grabs their hands and like puts them together. Yeah. Maybe he's just like, hey, we're all one. Maybe it's an implicit thing that he does. I do like that now with only two left, it's all on you.
Oh, yeah.
This is yours to win or lose.
Exactly. Yeah,
literally. I'm done.
It's like, your game.
Yep. You won the coin flip. Man.
I won the coin flip, and now I got this.
You got a coin flip.
And I think it's like, this is the risky part, because I do feel like the smart strategy is to go second, so that way someone can blow it right away.
That's fair.
Yeah. But this is where all the pressure's.
And you're going to have to overthink it now, too, because would Peter make... And those are both pretty good ones, too.
So then we got the kitten.
The kitten and the flashlight.
And the flashlight.
So does his ego get too big, or does the neighborhood go crazy because of the flashlight?
See, part of me is thinking, like, if I'm thinking from a TV production perspective... If they do the kitten, they don't have to leave the house. You know, like, in other words,
I'll tell you this.
They can film it at all in the house. And if the drive-in, they're going to have a separate location.
I'm not trying to psych you out, but I'll tell you this. I was thinking the opposite. You already have a monkey.
Right.
That monkey's going to fucking rip a kitten in half. They're going to be like, hey, throw the kitten in there, and he's just going to kill it.
But the monkeys are good at climbing trees, so of course it would get the kitten down.
I'm just saying, I had the opposite.
I think I'm going to say that the kitten is real.
The kitten is real.
Yeah.
Is the final answer.
That's the final answer.
You are incorrect.
Yes!
Oh,
yes!
No!
And I would have gone the opposite, so I feel good twice. Yay!
Oh, no. I've been defeated.
Your winning streak has ended.
Yay!
My winning streak of, like, what, one?
No.
Two?
You'd beaten me twice
two.
In a row.
Okay.
Oh, three.
Three.
You were on a streak, a legit streak.
Yeah.
Cool. We did it.
Oh, man.
That was
we did it.
Great.
Well, thanks, everybody. Thank you guys for coming.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thanks for listening.
I hope we all learned lessons.
Yeah.
Monkeys.
Did you guys learn something?
And zombies.
Let's all end with what we learned.
Well, I learned that Matt is my enemy. I think everyone learned that. He knows why.
I learned that nobody would buy Jen with my face on her body or her face on my body. We couldn't sell it. Face off.
Yeah, I don't think the face off would work very well.
Yeah. What'd you learn, Pete?
I learned that Legends of Tomorrow is the racial standards of today.
Right. It's how we'll move forward as a society.
If we all just watched Abominations
right.
from season 2, I think we could learn a lot.
We could.
It's beautiful.
There we go. Thanks, everybody.
Woo!